and also the special focus on Chairman Barney's views on what has been termed Islamic terrorism. Assalamu alaikum to you, Sheikh, and Jazakallah and Shukran for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
First of all, if I can just start off with just focusing a bit on the work of the Naqshbandi Haqqani Foundation. Now, as I mentioned, over the past week, the people in Cape Town have had the privilege and the opportunity to participate. First of all, listening to the talks of the Grand Sheikh Maulana Sheikh Muhammad Nazim Adil Haqqani, as well as participating in the dhikr. But beyond that, the work of the Naqshbandi Haqqani Foundation, what is the Naqshbandi Haqqani Foundation involved in?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I know the time is very short, but I will summarize as much as I can. The work of the Naqshbandi Haqqani Order is that, alhamdulillah, it has a long history of 60 years of continuous work of our Grand Sheikh throughout the world, and through that work, millions of people has converted into Islam, from mostly from Western countries and from Europe and from Australia and Far East and Africa. During the tolerant and patient approach that he using, and the moderate way that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, that we are a moderate ummah. So, and that's what has given us a great success to establish many foundations and many organizations teaching Islam, teaching Sharia, teaching spirituality, the essence of Islam.
Sheikh, you did mention that over the years, over the past 60 years, the foundation has been doing the work. The Naqshbandi order has been particularly strong in the Soviet Union, or what was formerly the Soviet Union. Does the Naqshbandi Haqqani Foundation trace its background and history to that part of the world?
Yeah, this our chain, our lineage is coming through that lineage from Sayyidina Khalid al-Baghdadi, one the tariqat, who was living in Baghdad and in Damascus, and he's buried in Sham in Damascus now in Syria, before 150 years. From there, the tariqa moved through one of his students, Ismail Shirwani, Kurdumiri, moved to Dagestan and that Caucasus area, the Central Asia, and then from there it grew up through these big scholars there of that time who fought the Russian and who fought the oppression of the Tsar, and they were the like Imam Shamil, who was the very well known, and today the Chechens and so on, all of them are Naqshbandis there and Qadiris. So from that lineage it's coming to our grand Sheikh, who is Sheikh Abdullah Daghestani, who moved from that area to Damascus, and where Sheikh Nazim met him and continued that message of Islam, of spirituality in Islam.
Now, if we can just focus on what is happening in what you have just referred to in Chechnya, there were reports that the President Aslan Maschadov has been unhappy with the manner in which perhaps Shamil Basayev has conducted the campaign there. Has the Grand Sheikh perhaps advised on the situation in Chechnya, Sheikh Kabani?
Look, we are Muslim, and as Muslim, as a unity, we support every sincere Muslim and every work of a Muslim, regardless of disagreement or differences with each other. As long as there is Russian oppression, we are brothers. Aslan Maschadov and Shamil Basayev and Khattab are brothers. They fight with each other. They work with each other to fight the oppression of the Russians. Now, if there are differences, there might be differences, because the differences was before the Russian aggression, the late Russian aggression in 1999. There were differences, and there were some tension. When I was in, when my Sheikh sent me there, Sheikh Nazim sent me there in 1999, and I met with the Mujahideen and I met with Aslan Maschadov, I tried to, by request from His Excellency Aslan Maschadov, to bring the Mujahideen together. So I was able to bring around 27 of the biggest leaders of Mujahideen to come together, and that was a big job. And alhamdulillah, it was successful. And you know, when the aggression of the Russian came, all their differences dropped, and all of them, they are working together now.
Now, Sheikh, if we can now just turn to a issue that has caused a certain amount of discussion and, need I say, a controversy here in the Western Cape. And that is certain statements people allude to you. They claim that you made certain statements regarding the issue of Islamic extremism and the quote, in fact, an address that you made at an open forum at the U.S. Department of State entitled Islamic Extremism, a Viable Threat to U.S. National Security. What was the context, first of all, of that particular discussion and the talk that you delivered?
I think this is a long story, and what they accused me of is completely false, and completely they are going to be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the judgment day to be asked of accusing a Muslim with something that I never said and I never mentioned. I am a Muslim, and I am a very conservative Muslim, and I am Orthodox Muslim, coming from a very, very religious family in Lebanon, who is running the religious affair of Ministry of Lebanon all for many decades, and my uncles are very well known, my parents are very well known. We were the first people to support Muslim Brotherhood in Lebanon that they fled from Abdel Nasser, and even my sister is married to one of the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood of Egypt, and he is now of age 87, who led the coup against King Farouk. But we are not going to go too bad to that history, but I will say, may Allah forgive them of what they have cut and paste of my speeches. When they called me to give that open forum, we called all the Muslims. And when they said Islamic extremist, I wanted to define to them that there is no Islamic extremist, there is Islam. There might be differences in approaches between Muslims, and you cannot call Islam and label Islam as a religion of terrorism. So I try to take away the stereotype under the name of Islam, from the name of Islam. And what I said there is being published and it's been written, but they cut and paste my speech. When they asked me about extremism, I said, and the two speakers who spoke before me, I was explaining what they were saying because they were accusing the Muslim of being extremist. So I was saying that you have to define extremism. And extremism in Islam doesn't mean terrorism. In Arabic, tatarruf or ghuluf al-din doesn't mean terrorism or violence. Extreme, you can be either extreme. If you, as Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we are a moderate ummah. So if you go on the right side, you are so liberal, or you go on the left side, you are more strict. These are two extremes. Everything has an extreme if you are not on the moderate line. I was explaining that with all due respect to our brothers of Wahhabi ideology, I was speaking about the Wahhabi ideology that is spreading in United States and spreading since 50 years around the world, that destroying the culture and the tradition of Islam and the mainstream of Islam and making everyone to be shirk, bid'ah, kufur, haram, whatever they are speaking about. That kind of ideology I was explaining, and I was saying that is the extreme ideology in Islam. It doesn't mean a terrorist, and most of the Muslims around the world are peace-loving. They have nothing to do with such kind of an ideology. So that's what I was explaining. They twisted, they cut and paste, because they saw we are very successful in America. We have converted in 10 years when I left there in 1990 till today. We have converted more than 100,000 white Muslims into Islam. So these seven organizations like CARE, AMC, American Muslim Alliance, IMPACT, all these organizations, didn't suit them that. We established Maulid al-Nabi where it was prohibited in America. We established, we initiated Ramadan stamp, and no one other Muslim organization supported us to establish a Ramadan stamp for the Muslim as a remembrance.
Maafa, Sheikh, just to cut in there. So when you say, when you use the term Islamic extremism, you are referring in this particular instance to the extreme beliefs or the extreme viewpoints point being held by the Wahhabis. Is that what you are saying, Sheikh?
That's correct.
Now, Sheikh, if we can just move on to some of the other points that were raised, and they quote you as saying that groups such as Hamas, for example, Islamic Jihad, they pose a threat. Did you actually say that these groups pose
a threat? No. I was explaining to the American Muslims that there is a law in America. If any organization this is not my point of view. I disagree with these things, but we have to be clear in it. In America, we are living in America. We are not living in a Muslim country that you can say whatever you like, you can do whatever you like, and you have no problem. In America, you cannot give one penny as a Muslim, as a charity in a masjid. You will be responsible if that money will go to certain organization that is defined by the United States law, by the United States, that is, that organization is a terrorist organization. Although we do not agree with that, but if that is defined by the United States, that if Hamas is defined, which is defined as an organization, that it is not a terrorist, which we don't accept that, but they defined it already, and they defined Hezbollah the same thing. So any Muslim who give a charity for a mosque, and that mosque use that money, or any charity organization use that money to give to Hamas or to Hezbollah or any organization defined as terrorist. There are Christian organizations defined as terrorist. There are Jewish organizations defined as terrorist. There are atheist organizations defined as terrorist. So it's not only picking up on Hamas or Hezbollah. So any money goes there, you will be liable, you will be responsible according to the new secret, they call it anti-secret, anti-terrorism bill. They throw you in prison. So I was informing the Muslim community that you have to be very careful how to give your money in order that they will not, they want, they can pick you up and throw you in jail. That's what I was saying. I didn't say Hezbollah and Hamas and this organization are terrorist organization. Why I have to say that? If these people are working for freedom and independence, I cannot say that.
Sheikh, in your view regarding relations with Israel, Muslims' approach and attitude towards Israel, again, you know, the quote there that you have said that it is no longer justified to fight the Zionist entity of Israel. What is your view regarding relations with that?
That is a big lie. I didn't say that. They are sitting and speaking with the all the different Jewish organization in America. All the Muslim organization are sitting and discussing and negotiating and sitting in interface and dialogue. Why they pick on me only? Why they want anything happen, they go and say Sheikh Kabbani. I know it's a conspiracy against Tasawwuf, against our uprising, because we represent now the silent majority in America, the Muslim silent majority. They didn't have a mic before. So they want to pick us, to pick up on us and everything. So that's why immediately they pick up on me. Why? Now CARE came with a new release. CARE, you know, CARE is the Council of American Islamic Relations. They came up recently with a new press release saying that they support the peace talk. Why they pick on me, they don't pick on them? I don't understand this mentality. Why always going to accuse each other when it doesn't suit them? And never we accuse any one of them. So I never supported or I never said anything that harmed the Muslim. And it is not my intention, never in my life, I give my blood and my neck, I put my neck under the feet of the Muslim when it comes for Muslim issues.
Sheikh, can you confirm that, I'm not too sure if it's CARE, but one of the organizations that had apparently published initially apparent statements that you had made. Is it true that in the past week, one of those organizations, the leadership of those organizations, has actually been named as an employee of the U.S. State Department?
Yeah, that's what's surprising to me. They accused me of something wrong. This is American Muslim Council. His name is Abdurrahman Amoudi. He is from Saudi Arabia, and he is originally Eritrean. And he has a relationship with Yemenis and so on. I was surprised. I was going out of my clothes, off my head. Abdurrahman Amoudi, 6 years, he is under the payroll of the State Department, and he goes and speaks for support of Muslims against Israel. And at the same time, he is an employee in the State Department. It's something that it doesn't click in the mind. It doesn't give an answer. There is a question mark. When I go back to America, I'm going to investigate this. I'm going to make it public.
So that is confirmed that he is, in fact, an employee of the State Department?
Yeah, six years. And now the Muslims, since he was a leader of the Muslims, no one Muslim organization spoke about it. They kept quiet on it. It's now going more than that, and now they are It's dangerous. It's going because many news agency called the State Department. I asked them how you employed him when he is openly he's with his different views. No answer. They are now in a problem because I don't know what, I don't want to speculate like they speculate on me. I don't want to give false assumptions, but there is a big question mark going there. What was that person doing in the State Department for 6 years and no one knew about it?
Sheikh, finally, we know what is happening in Palestine at the moment. Over 150 people have been killed by the Israelis. Finally, what your views regarding how the struggle should go ahead, and what do you see the long-term situation in that part?
Brother Farid, the problem is these people are very innocent. These Palestinians are a scapegoat for the Arab leaders. The Arab leaders has to stand up. If the Muslims leader, politician, they don't stand up, what they can do, these innocent Palestinians who are throwing rocks and they are dying. Every other politician is sitting in his home, eating, drinking, looking after his children, happy in his desires, pleasurely desires, not taking care of these innocent people who are dying there. It is the responsibility, although it is the responsibility of every Muslim, but we, the regular, normal Muslim, what we can do? We cannot do anything if these Muslim leaders don't stand up, these politicians, and try to put a firm decision in order that United States will stop that with their influence on the people on the ground.
Sheikh, we say Jazakallah to you. Shukran Jazilan you. For joining us this morning. It was a pleasure speaking to you.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu
alaikum. And that was Sheikh Muhammad Ahash.
That was nice. That was nice, yes. That was very, very convincing. That was very nice. Now, you know how many thousands listen to you now?
Recorded?
Yeah, thousands.
Still out of the camera, right?
Yes, people in...